We praise the Lord for enabling us to worship Him, to give thanks and praises unto Him who is worthy to be adored. And I believe the Lord has heard each of our voices and our hearts that went with it in terms of worshiping the Lord. As we continue our series on Jordan crossing, we have been meditating from the beginning of the biblical history, from the patriarchs, from the book of Genesis, as well as even in the life of Moses and Joshua, and now we are into the book of Judges. We have already meditated from the life of Gideon as to what has happened during the crossing of Jordan, weary but yet pursuing. Today, let us look at another scriptural portion from the book of Judges itself. Judges chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Shall we all read this together, please, as it is projected? Or if you have your sermon notes, please join with me in reading out these two verses clearly and loudly. All together, please. Don't jump the gun. Let's keep going slowly as to what is the story as such. But let us read... Stay along with me as we keep moving on and on and on. Judges chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, all together, please. The Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who escaped said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" He said, "No." If he says no, then they would say to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And he would say, "Shibboleth," for he could not pronounce it right. Then they would take him, kill him at the forts of the Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. I don't know if you have ever read this story, or even if you have read it as a part of your yearly Bible reading. May the Lord enable us to clearly understand what this story is about. You may be keeping on reading before and after. Join with me, okay? Please be with me as we move forward. The title of this particular sermon is Password. Password. I put a small space in between as well, just for us to be able to recognize as part of Jordan crossing. Password. There's a lot of passwords, everybody knows. We keep wondering how to remember the passwords. Now there is another application, it seems, where you can keep all your passwords in one place and try to put another password on the top of it. Passwords on the top of passwords. Passwords everywhere. And now more critical passwords with an alphanumeric symbol and a number, a capital letter, all added together. Passwords, passwords, passwords. Now, I don't need to explain to you what a password is, but during the olden times also, there were some passwords that were used. Even in the story of the Alibaba and the 40 thieves, when they had to open up, they used to say, "Open, open sesame," and then that's when it opened up. And there was a husband and wife, they were talking about it, and the husband said, they said, "Open sesame." And the wife said, "Sesame? They're like the sesame seeds or the sesame street?" No, I don't think they would have said that. They would have said, "Open sesame." Open says me. It's a French word, by the way. Says me. That's what probably the wife has been telling husband all the while. Open says me. Who says that? It's me. So like that, there have been a lot of times. They're also called watchword in the old in the olden days. So this new this concept of password is not new. Most of the time, we think that the computer world has introduced this password, but it's been there forever. From the beginning of the time as well, even in the biblical times. This particular book of Judges talks about how God gave the people of Israel over to their enemies because the people of Israel were doing evil in the sight of God. It is a vicious cycle. Even this, I heard that the Sunday school students are learning the book of Judges now. So go talk to your children who are in the peace and patience class as to what they are learning from the book of Judges as well. It's a vicious circle. The children of Israel commit sin. God gives them over to the enemies. And then when God gives them over to the enemies, they cry out to the Lord. The Lord raises up a judge to deliver them from the hand of the enemies. And then there is peace in the land for a few years, and then again the people of Israel commit sin, and then the Lord gives them over to the enemies, and it's been a circle going on and on, cycle. How many times we do that in our lives? How many times we do that? We ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. And then the Lord cleanses us according to his word. He gives us a promise and we say, wonderful, Lord. Thank you for answering my prayers. Thank you for giving this. Few days later, again committing sin. This book of Judges is no different from the situations that we go through in our lives. God has raised judges, many judges. Today, I just want to give you a very high-level picture of the various judges. There are more judges after Jephthah as well, Samson and many others, major judges. There are major judges and minor judges, by the way, okay? Not much is written about minor judges. Much is written about major judges. That's the only way. Like minor prophets and major prophets doesn't mean that they are less valued, okay? So if you see here, just to give a background again, there is Jordan River. There's a Sea of Kinnereth or Sea of Galilee, okay? And then there's a Dead Sea or a Salt Sea. And there is a Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea, okay? And now, under the leadership of Joshua, they enter into the land of Canaan, which is on the west of the Jordan River. And also on the east, they occupy land of the Amorites. Notice the word Amorite, not Ammonite. Ammonites are here. And as I was telling you, in today's world, this east of Jordan is primarily occupied by the country of Jordan, and the capital of Jordan is Ammon. Okay, so maybe it has still come from this Ammonites. There are Philistines on the left side, Canaanites, Mesopotamians, Midianites, Moabites, Amalekites. All these people were coming over as enemies whenever these people of Israel were committing sin. So under each of these judges, different kinds of enemies that were coming over. You can go read it in your sweet time. If you haven't started meditating on God's word, if you haven't done your regular Bible reading, start the book of Judges. Try to understand how this particular aspect was happening. And Gideon, we meditated last week. Today, we are going to meditate on Jephthah. Jephthah. Maybe you know this story, but may the Lord speak to us afresh from this particular story. Judges chapter 10. Follow with me. Don't jump the gun. Follow with me as we keep going the story. And as the story unreveals various truths, we can go along with each other. Okay? So Judges chapter 10 talks about the repeated word that the people of Israel were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 6, then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Repeatedly, if you read second chapter, third chapter, it keeps repeatedly using that word. Chapter 6 as well, the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. They went after, they served the Baals, Ashtaroth, gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, Ammon, Philistines. Thus they forsook the Lord and did not serve him, period. They forsook the Lord. They started serving the gods, their own created gods. Anything that is above the creator God that we give importance, that is an idol. The so-called small G-O-D-S. We all fall into that category. We get into so much of the things of this world. Maybe our job is an idol. Maybe our spouse is an idol. Maybe our vehicle is an idol. Maybe the things that we are giving more importance, the thoughts process, maybe our money is an idol. So much so that we don't even care about serving the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? Or are you just coming, attending the church for the sake of an obligation and go back? How much are you serving the Lord God? In terms of not only having personal relationship with him, but also serving him in a manner through the body of believers as well. So here we notice in verse 7, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, or the sons of Ammon. Philistines on the left side, Ammonites on the right side. Now they are getting sandwiched because of the evil that they were committing. They were not serving the only true God, and they were going after the other gods. And what did they do? Verse 8, they afflicted and crushed them that year. For 18 years, they afflicted the sons of Israel and were beyond the Jordan in Gilead. The Gilead is here, by the way, near the Gad. This is one of the tribes. This area is called Gilead. This particular Ammonites, they primarily occupied this area, Gilead. And what did they do? They started afflicting them. The sons of Israel, the Israelites, were going through troubled times. The Gilead in the land of the Amorites. Amorites' land was taken over under the leadership of Joshua and Moses when they have occupied that land. What did they do? Not only did they go to Gilead, after that, the Ammonites, not only did they go to Gilead, but also, it says in verse 9, the sons of Ammon crossed the Jordan. They crossed the Jordan River also. And what did they do? They crossed the Jordan River to fight also against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed. Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim, which are at the border of this Jordan River, they went to this area and tried to afflict the children of Israel. For 18 years, the Ammonites were afflicting these people. Verse 10, then the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, for indeed we have forsaken our God and served the Baals. They had to go through hard way. They had to go through a lesson, a hard lesson, in order to be able to come unto the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. Even in the worship message, we were meditating upon it. They were going through sufferings in their lives. Sufferings could be for us to be able to learn some lessons to make us strong. Or sufferings also could be because God wants us to come back to Him. Maybe we are drifting away from the Lord, and the Lord is reminding us to come back to Him. Even in any of these reasons for which we are going through suffering, they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord in verse 10. But the Lord said, did I not deliver you and all? He talks it out to the people. And He says, you have chosen those gods. Verse 14, go and cry out to those gods. Verse 15, the sons of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you. Only please deliver us this day. They got fed up. They have reached their threshold to the extent of being able to cry out and said, we have sinned. They had to confess multiple times. Unlike the previous times, if you read the book of Judges, it is not mentioned so clearly that they were really, really feeling so much oppressed. For 18 years, they were going through troubles in their lives. And we have sinned. They had to come back to the Lord. Do to us whatever seems good to you. All this time, we were thinking that I want good things for me. In my side, I want good things. But their prayer has changed. Their prayer is now, do what seems good to you. Or in other words, may your will be done in my life. God takes us through such kind of situations in our lives to mold us in such a manner that our will be aligned to His will. Do to you what seems good to you. Lord, you know the best in my life. All this time, I was trying to put my own thoughts, my own good things that are in my sight, and been asking you. But do to me as it seems good to you. That should be our prayer, my dear. Maybe we have not been praying such kind of prayers. Maybe our prayers are give me prayers. It's called give me prayers. Lord, give me this, give me that. I want this, I want that. This is good for me. Lord, this is good for me. Lord, no, not that. This is good for me. We tend to try to twist the arm of God, asking Him to give us what we want. Do to us what seems good to you. Lord, may your will happen in my life. That was the prayer. Then the sons of Ammon were summoned and they camped in Gilead. Verse 17. And the sons of Israel gathered together and camped in Mizpah. Mizpah is somewhere here at the side of Jordan River. All the Israelites were camped. Now there are two camps. Enemy camps as well as the Israelite camp. Now what did they do? Verse 18. The people, the leaders of Gilead said to one another, who is the man who will begin to fight against the sons of Ammon? He shall become head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So now they wanted to find out who can be their leader. Who can be able to guide them in order to be able to win over these enemies. That was a question. There was no answer there. The chapter ended with a question, chapter 10. Now, parallelly, there was another story that was going on. That was happening in the land of Gilead in chapter 11 and verse 1. Join with me to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. Now, Jephthah. The word Jephthah means he opens. He opens. He frees up or he opens up in being maybe speaking out or whatever is a way in which we can try to understand here. But the word Jephthah means he opens. Jephthah the Gileadite was a valiant warrior, a man of valor. Even when we were reading the book, the Judges chapter 6 to 8 about Gideon, there also the angel of the Lord, and he said, "Greetings, you man of valor." God, even before that person goes through that war against the enemy, there is an introduction that is given to them as a mighty man of valor. God prepares the person ahead of time, though that person may not know that he would be the leader one day. And it says he was the son of an harlot. He was a son of an harlot. Jephthah's background is not so good. Even in the men's meeting, we have been meditating upon lousy past, overcoming the lousy past. Many of us might have a lousy past. Sometimes we don't want to talk about our past because of the background in which we might have been born and brought up and many things. He was a son of a harlot. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, the Gileadites. The Gilead was a father. Verse 2, Gilead's wife bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they were legitimate sons. But this Jephthah was an illegitimate child born to a harlot with Gilead. Once they grew up, probably Gilead died. In verse 2, Gilead's sons, they said, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Jephthah went through tough times in his life, my dear. Was there any fault in him that he had to be born to a harlot? It was the sin of Gilead with a harlot that brought forth this Jephthah. There was nothing wrong in Jephthah in a sense from his birth perspective. But many times, because of the way in which that person is born, lot of from a society perspective, they are rejected. There are many who became orphans, who were sent out of their house. Why? Was there anything they have done? They were born in that family. Out of the wedlock they were born. It is not good. Especially from Gilead and his nature. But from Jephthah's perspective, he had to go through troubled times, my dear. They might have asked, "Who is your mother?" He might have gone through tough times. Even the brothers, the so-called brothers, you know what they said? "You shall have no inheritance." Verse 3, Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, somewhere here in the Manasseh, somewhere at that, there is a Tob. He ran away. He didn't know what to do. He ran away. All the troubles that he was going through in his life, people pointing fingers and trying to tell that you are the one. Poor guy. You know what happened in verse 3? He fled and worthless fellows gathered themselves about Jephthah and they went out with him. Worthless fellows gathered about Jephthah. Many times we notice this particular kind of situations where when it says vain people or worthless people, even when, I just want to share with you, keep your finger here in Judges chapter 11 and go to 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. David was running away from the way in which Saul was after him. And then in verse 1, so David departed from there, escaped to the cave of Adullam, where his brothers and all his father's house heard of it. They went down there to him. Verse 2, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him and he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. What kind of people were with David? Those who were in distress, those who were in debt, those who were discontented, such kind of people. Worthless fellows, in other words, from a society perspective. Such kind of people were after David. Here also, we don't know what kind of worth they had. These people had nothing. Avara, in other words. They didn't know anything to do. Oh, Jephthah ran away. Ha, come, let's also go after him. And Jephthah had such kind of people with him. But I'm sure when he was all alone in the situations that he was going through, he might have really trained up these worthless men to become people of worth. Why? We see that in verse 4. It came about after a while that the sons of Ammon fought against Israel. That was chapter 10. When the sons of Ammon fought against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. These elders of Jephthah could include the brothers of Jephthah himself. What did they do? They went. They went to Tob to get Jephthah. And they said to Jephthah in verse 6, come and be our chief that we may fight against. Come and become our chief. The one who was rejected, now he's been asked to become their ruler. A rejected person. Maybe you're going through rejection in your life because of your past, because of your family way and the situations that you may be going through. My dear, hold on to the Lord. He will lift you up in due course of time. This Jephthah who flew away, and these worthless men who were with him, now they realize that there was something going on at Jephthah, that he was a man who was a man of valor. And then verse 7, Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and drive me from my father's house? So why have you come to me when you are in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, for this reason we have come, return to you, that you may go with us and fight the sons of Ammon and become head over the inhabitants of Gilead. They had to go back. The one who sent them away, now they have went and asked them, please come back. We are in distress. One day, the one who rejected you might remember you and ask you to return as well. But for that, you need to stick on to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We will see what happens here. Verse 9. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back to fight against the sons of Ammon, if you take me back to fight against them, notice the terms, and if the Lord gives them up to me, will I become your head? If the Lord gives them up to me, though he was far away in Tob, his dependency on the Lord was not gone. If the Lord gives them up to me, I will fight. But the result is in the Lord's hand. If the Lord. So this is the first time we notice the word Lord, Yehovah. All this while, these Gileadites, I don't know how much they were crying out to the Lord as much. All they were doing is, in chapter 11, they were going after people. Who can be our leader? Who can be our leader? I don't know how much they have prayed about it. But they ended up going to Jephthah. Jephthah said, if the Lord hands them over. And verse 10. The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord is witness between us. Surely we will do as you have said. We are talking about words. Through the life of Jephthah, the first thing that we can learn about the importance of word is the consent word to Gileadites. Consent. He wanted to get a consent from them. When he said those words, if the Lord hands them over to me, will I then become your head? Words. It's a matter of words. Consent. He wanted to. It is about words, my dear. Words matter here. Ah, it's understood, nah? We'll make you head. No. I want a consent. I want you to be able to tell clearly enough. And then in verse 10, they say, the Lord is witness. They also use the name of the Lord. The Lord is witness between you, us. Surely we will do as you have said. Now, in nowadays world, they take signatures as a form of a contract. Consent. I want words. You may be having in your heart of hearts, but I want you to tell it out in words. I want a consent from you. He knew the importance of words of our mouth that are very important. So he gave a consent. They gave a consent to him. And then, now in verse 12, Jephthah sent messengers to the kings of the sons of Ammon. Verse 28. 12 to 29. I'm not going to read this. In your sweet time, you can read it. 12 to 28 talks about the conversation of Jephthah with the enemies, Ammonites. He sends multiple times messengers to tell them, why are you fighting against us? This land was given to us. And the Ammonites say, no, this land was ours. Long time ago, when you guys passed around the Red Sea, you came all the way and you took over our land. But that land was the Amorites' land. They were getting confused between Amorites and Ammonites. Ammonites remained here. In the picture here, Ammonites remained here. The Amorites' land was taken up. But these Ammonites were thinking that this land is also theirs. So he had to explain to them. In multiple verses here, he tells the history. He knew the history as to what has happened under the leadership of Moses and Joshua. To become a leader, to be able to understand what all has happened in the past, it was essential for him to know the history. To be able to know what has happened. Remember when Joshua was told to take the 12 stones to bring out to Gilgal? I'm sure all these discussions, when your children ask, what are these stones for? These stones are because God has delivered us from the land and brought us into this land. Remember that story that we have meditated upon? I'm sure Jephthah also might have heard about that historical things that have happened. He was very clear in history. He made it very clear, if you read Judges chapter 11, verses 12 to 27, he made it very clear. Guys, why are you coming against us? Why are you doing it? In verse 24, do you not possess the Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord, our God, has driven out before us, we will possess it. It is our land. And then, verse 27, I therefore have not sinned against you, but you are doing me wrong by making war against me. May the Lord, the judge, judge today between the sons of Israel and the sons of Ammon. He himself was a judge, Jephthah, but he recognized the Lord God as a judge. Remember that? When you are in a position, remember that you are not a leader or whatever is the responsibility in your house, maybe you're a husband or whatever is the responsibility you have. Remember one thing, that there is somebody higher than you. The Lord God is a judge. May the Lord judge between the sons of Ammon and the sons of Israel. He was fully relying on the Lord. But for that, he has been using these words of caution. He gave the words of caution, telling them, hey guys, this Amorites land, God has given us. For 300 years, we've been able to be here. Now, what are you talking about? And that is what he keeps telling, if you read this particular portion, about the fact that, why are you coming? We have not sinned against this Ammon is yours. You keep it. But when it comes to the land of Gad and other places, it is ours. The Lord be the judge. And he gave words of caution on and on and on in verse 28. Notice this. What was the result of the caution word? But the king of the sons of Ammon heeded not, listened not, disregarded the message which Jephthah has sent him. The words of warnings were sent. Jephthah sent words of warning, caution. Hey guys, the Lord is a judge. If you try to act smartly, the Lord will take care of their situation. Watch out. But what were the people of Ammon doing in verse 28? They disregarded. When there was a consent, the Gileadites consented him to become the ruler. But when there was a caution, the Ammonites did not listen to that word of caution. Jephthah knew the importance of words. He sent messengers. He sent messengers multiple times, if you read this portion, between 12 and 27. He sent multiple times saying that, hey guys, watch out. Don't get into trouble here. He gave enough warnings. Cautions were given to the Ammonites, but they did not heed. They did not. Please read in any other language, verse 28, 11, 28. He didn't care for his words. Who are you? And then we notice in verse 29, the Lord uses Jephthah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. So that he went. And while he was going to win over the people of Ammon, verse 30, notice this. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. If you will indeed give the sons of Ammon in my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's. I will offer it up as a burnt offering. He made a commitment to the Lord. Commit word to the Lord. He made a commitment. You can note down. He made a commitment to the Lord. What did he say? Once I come back in peace after winning over the Ammonites, whatever comes in my way, I will give unto you. I will give unto you and offer as a burnt offering. He comes back. Probably you know the story. Probably women's meeting, you might have meditated upon this story. This is one of the characters that a lot of times women meditate upon. Jephthah's daughter. She comes across. The first person that he sees coming out of the house was his own daughter. And then the wonderful way in which the daughter talks, the way in which he brought the daughter up. He didn't care about his background, being the son of a harlot. But when it came to his own daughter, he brought her up in such a manner that the daughter would know what it means to keep the word. Word is very important. Not only consent word, not only caution word, but commit word also. When you commit, you keep the word. So what did the daughter say in verse 36? My father, you have given your word. You have given your word to the Lord. Do to me as you have said, since the Lord has avenged you. And then she takes 2 months of time. She prepares herself. And after that, after the end of verse 39, at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did to her according to the vow which he had made. Nothing is so clearly mentioned that he offered her as a burnt offering. It might have happened. But he fulfilled the vow, offered her child. Just like in the old, during Abraham and Isaac's time, he pretty much offered his son as a burnt offering, though the Lord stopped him. We don't know what must have happened beyond this, but one thing is for sure, he kept his word. That is the most important one. And the daughter, she did not run away. Just like Isaac, who was ready to be tied on that altar and was ready to be sacrificed because God has told Abraham to do that. Similarly, Jephthah, he kept his word. When he made a vow, he kept his word, my dear. Very important. Very important things that you and I need to understand here. And it is very essential for us to learn these important aspects. The words, Jephthah knew how important the words of our mouth are. It cannot be used or misused. It cannot be. When you give a word, you keep the word. No wonder when two people are getting married, they are brought forth in front of the people and they are told to exchange their vows. Why? They could say, I know in my heart of hearts, this person is going to be my husband. In your heart of hearts, you also know that you are my... No! It has to be told out. Use your mouth in order to be able to confirm what is in your heart. The words of your mouth are essential in order to be able to keep it up. Even when it comes to the change of your heart, when Christ Jesus has made the work of salvation in you, it should come out in the form of words as well. If you keep saying, no, it's in my heart, you confess with your mouth as well that Jesus Christ is your Lord. How many times have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? Maybe you're saying in my heart of hearts it's there. Who cares? Then what is the value of all this word itself? The word of God. Why are there words? God would have told in his heart, I know in my heart of hearts this is what it is. No, he had to tell it out. And it had to be heard by us in order to be able to know who he is. And for that matter, it was written also so that we can read what were the words written. That is why it is called Word of God. Word is essential, my dear. Word is essential. Yes, without the heart, word has no value. But with the heart, word has a value. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My rock, my redeemer, and my strength. The psalmist said in Psalm 19. Yes, it is very essential for us to watch out with our words. Jephthah, probably he was so much so in getting into the war that he immediately used his words. Lord, anything that comes on my way, I will just offer you. Maybe he must have got so excited to go after the enemies that he made a vow. But he had to keep the vow. Jephthah knew how important it is to keep the vow. And even till now, the last verse of Judges 11, and the daughters of Israel went yearly to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in the year. They still remember the way in which the daughter of Jephthah was. Jephthah lost his own family in terms of his relationship. For a while he had to flee to Tob. Now he lost his one and only child because of the vow. Even this present age, to give unto the Lord, that's what he gave a vow. He said, whatever comes in my way, I will give unto you. It shall be the Lord's. Do we give our children unto the Lord, give back unto the Lord, just like Hannah did? Whatever you have given me, I will give unto you, Lord. Not just in the form of us killing them, etc., but to be able to offer, dedicate the child unto the Lord. Many things that we can learn. Now in chapter 12, verse 1, the story that we are going to read about. Notice this carefully, chapter 12, verse 1. Then the men of Ephraim were summoned and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, why did you cross over to fight against the sons of Ammon without calling us to go with you? Who are Ephraimites? Ephraimites, who are they? They are another tribe. Now Jephthah went and he won over the Ammonites and he has come back in peace. When there should be peace and celebration, what was going on inside? The Ephraimites, they said, why did you not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you. Already he lost his daughter. He lost his inheritance. He fought against the Ammonites, came back in peace. Now, there should have been a celebration. Instead, there is loose tongue that was going on here. Loose tongue. Notice this very carefully. Ephraimites, they are known for loose tongue. In Judges chapter 6 to 8, if you read, Gideon also had to go through similar kind of story, where the Ephraimites had questioned the same thing. Why did you not take us? And chapter 8 verse 1. What is this that you have done, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian? Chapter 8 and verse 1. Judges chapter 12 and verse 1 also. These people are known. After the victory, they come back and say, we did not come. Why didn't you call us? We will burn your house down. They are talkers. Loose mouth talkers. They know how to talk, but they don't know how to act. They don't know how to go into the battle. But all that they do is, within the house of Israel, their job is talking, 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 loose mouth talking. Ephraimites, let us examine ourselves if there is any Ephraimite amongst us. Loose mouth talking. Good to talk. You can keep talking about somebody. Oh, you did not do that. You did not do that. You did not do that. I can see the big victory, big deal. You never called us. Trying to demean others. That is what Ephraimites were doing. Ephraim, they were so proud. You know why? Probably because Joshua came from that tribe. But if you read later the major prophetic books, God tends to judge Ephraim like anything. They are a thorn in the flesh among the Israelites, the Ephraimites. They were supposed to be the one who are very rich in terms of their land and their prosperity. Maybe they became so proud that they never cared. Let's see what happened. Jephthah said to them, notice this, verse 2. Jephthah said to them, I and my people were at great strife with the sons of Ammon. When I called you, you did not deliver me from their land, from their hand. When I called you, did Jephthah not call them? Was it not announced that we have to go? There is some work happening. Was it not announced? Did I not call you? Did I have to come and specifically talk to you personally? Only then you feel that you have to come? Lot of people are like that. Lot of people think that unless and until they are personally invited, go to their house and pull them, they cannot participate in the work of the Lord. Ephraimites, it is an important thing, my dear. Let us not be like the Ephraimites. What did Jephthah do? When I called you, it's like in today's world, hey, I called you, check your voicemail. Check your email. Didn't I send you? Why are you questioning like that? Was it not announced? Now you are complaining that you were not called. You are causing problems in the house of Israel. So that is what we need to see here. He made a call to Ephraimites. He called them. He called them ahead of time. Called them, come. Join with me to deliver from the hand of the Ammonites. Now what are they saying? You went without calling us, verse 1. Many times we make judgment calls like this against other people. Be it your own church, brothers and sisters, your own family members, or even your extended family members. We tend to make judgment calls with loose talking. It's easy to talk against someone, my dear. Talk good about someone. Maybe there are things you may not like about that person. That doesn't mean that you can have a loose talk. May the Lord be judge in all these matters. Have a concern, but don't make it a gossip. You can keep talking negative about many people. That is what is happening in the churches nowadays. There are carnal people in the churches. Their job is talk. Backbiting. Talking against someone. It is very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to be cautious of your word. Be watchful of your word. Don't try to give excuses like Ephraimites. If you study just this tribe of Ephraimites from the beginning till the end, you will know what kind of people these Ephraimites are. What a wonderful way in which you can study each tribe one at a time. Ephraimites were called. Jephthah made a call. He said, I called you. Verse 2. You did not come. And then what happened? Verse 3. When I saw that you would not deliver me, verse 3. I took my life in my hands when I saw that you would not deliver me. Or in other words, when I saw that you did not join with me. We have to be cautious, my dear. Next time when you try to talk against someone with the authority according to the word of God, I'm giving a warning from the word of God. Be cautious. Every word that you speak will be bound to judgment, including myself. It's easy to talk against someone. It's easy to talk against leaders. It's easy to talk against someone who is not involving or who is involving. Are you getting involved in the work of the Lord? Faithfully. You do your work faithfully. God is the judge. He knows how to handle it. It's not easy. You be in that position, you will know it. It's easy to talk when you're not in that position. Verse 3. When I saw that you would not deliver me, I did not talk against you. I did not tell everyone that this person is not coming. What did I do? I took my life in my hands. If you're not going to come, even after me telling you, I'm going to do the work. Whether you come or not, many people are very passive in the house of the Lord. You may be in different WhatsApp groups. Maybe you're not active at all. You're just listening to what others are doing. That's pretty much. Maybe you're praying. Thank God. Praise God for that. Get involved. Don't expect people to keep telling you over and over again. If God has called you, hear his call, not man's call, and obey his word. Verse 3, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the sons of Ammon, and the Lord gave them into my hand. He knew the work of the Lord. He knew that he is involved in the work of the Lord to the extent of knowing that the Lord is the one who has delivered the people of Israel. He never took the credit. Such is the kind of a leadership. Ephraimites went directly and spoke to Gilead. That's something that I appreciated. Went and spoke to Jephthah. I wonder what it could have been if Ephraimites went and spoke to others. To people of Judah. Hey, you know that fellow Jephthah? He never called us. Then they go to the Benjamites or Reubenites. You know, this poor Jephthah doesn't know what is going on. At the background, lot of backbiting going on. Jephthah even doesn't know that such kind of issues are happening. At least Ephraimites came and spoke to Gilead. Came and spoke to Jephthah and said, why did you not? That's something that I appreciate about Ephraimites. Many times we talk against someone to everyone except that person. Many times we are like that. If you have that concern, if you have that burden, if you have that calling from God to go and talk to that person, go talk to that person. If you feel that that person is doing wrong, go talk to that person. Why are you keeping on telling everyone else except that person? Don't be an Ephraimite, my dear. It's easy to keep telling against someone. But be in that person's role. Jephthah also had his shortcomings. He was very quick to give a vow. He had to go through a tough time. He had to go through a hard time of losing his own daughter. He went through so much of tough times. And now, you know what they are saying? We will burn your house down on you. Verse 1 to the end. We will burn your house. Ephraimites got so angry that they started telling Jephthah, maybe you have come, Ammonites and all, you won over them, but we are going to burn your house down. See, such a kind of a wicked nature. And they are so called the house of Israel. Ephraimites, it's a warning for us. Let us not be Ephraimites here. Ephraimites means fruitful. I don't know how fruitful they are. Matthew chapter 12. Keep your finger there. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33 onwards, listen to this very carefully. You may be fruitful, but what kind of fruits are you producing? Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruits bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. How fruitful are you? It depends on whether you are producing good fruit or bad fruit. You may say, I'm fruitful. You may be so fruitful to produce bad fruit. Verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You are speaking out because that is in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't tell that you are trying to speak out just like that, like a hypocrite. The words that are coming out of each of our mouths is what is happening in our hearts. Maybe some kind of bitterness against someone. Maybe some kind of a situation where we are like this. Out of the heart comes the mouth speaks. That's what it says in verse 34. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that notice this verse 36. The fruit is not your works. Most of the time we think fruits are works. The fruit that he's talking about is mentioned in verse 36 in this particular context. You know what that is? Verse 36. But I tell you, every careless word, vain word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. The Lord is a judge. We are studying the book of Judges. Every word that you speak, just look back into this past week itself. How many times you have spoken carelessly? It's easy to talk against someone. Whether it's against your spouse, against your in-laws, or whether it's your fellow brothers or sisters or whoever that is. Every careless word that your person speaks, they shall give an account of it. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Not my words, the words of Jesus Christ. Your words are very important, my dear. Let us not be hypocrites here outside, trying to be so good, but on the background trying to talk against everyone. Back to Judges. Chapter 12. Back to Judges chapter 12. Verse 4. Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought Ephraim, and the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you are fugitives of Ephraim, O Gileadites, in the midst of the Ephraim and in the midst of Manasseh. Verse 5. The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan opposite Ephraim. And it happened that when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, let me cross over. Now they caught the Ephraimites. The Gileadites caught Ephraimites because they wanted to burn the house of Jephthah. They had a loose mouth. They started talking so much that you never called us, etc. They captured the forts of Jordan. Near the Jordan, there are some places where they can cross over. It happened that any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, let me cross over. And the men of Gilead would say, to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said no, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said no, then they would call him, say to him, "Say Shibboleth." But he said Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it correctly. Then they seized him and slew him at the fords of the Jordan. Thus they fell at that time 42,000 of Ephraim. Note, write down the last portion of this. Crossword to Ephraimites. Crossword. The word for them to cross over. Or in other words, password. Crossword. What is this crossword to the Ephraimites? Are you an Ephraimite? And if they say no, then you shall ask them to pronounce Shibboleth. And if they say Sibboleth, then they know that this person is an Ephraimite. Accent. How many times we go through accents, right? This is just a story that has happened, but many spiritual lessons that we can learn. When I once went back to India for an occasion, there I happened to meet for an engagement, my wife's sister engagement. So there were some people who came from the boys' side from Pennsylvania. And they said, "Oh, you are from so-and-so state. Can you pronounce the state where you have come from?" I said, "Maryland." Then that person said, "Yes, you are a Maryland." Because many people say Maryland. I wanted to hear how you will pronounce it, Maryland. D.C. Maryland, that's how they say Maryland. Okay, I don't know if you have ever noticed it. Some people say Maryland. That means they don't know, you may not be present in that particular state. Even for that matter, when I was in India, I was taught a word. It's a Tamil and Malayalam word. Vayapuram. Vayapuram. I have to fold my tongue inside. Vayapuram. Ra, ra. It's not ra. It is ra. Right? Vayapuram. What is it? It is, what is it? What does it mean? It's a banana. Yes, that's what I was asking. The word banana, there is a specific way it has to be pronounced. They'll easily know whether that person is from that particular state or not. So there are some kind of ways in which even this, is it Ephraimites or Ephraimites? Is it Abraham or Abraham? You know, various pronunciations. The British English and American English. Many ways in which one can distinguish one from the other. Even during the Second World War, the German soldiers sometimes identified Russian Jews by the way they pronounced the word for corn. Kukuruza. Kukuruza. Pronounce Kukuruza? Okay. Now I know whether you are a real Jew or not a Russian Jew or a non-Jew. That's how they used to catch people. Just by the way they were speaking the word, they were able to know. What kind of words do we use? What kind of accent do we use? What kind of talk do we have matters here. There was a person when Jesus went into trial in Matthew chapter 26. Quickly, I know, interesting story that we see about Peter. Matthew chapter 26 verse 69. Quickly, I want to read the story. You might know this story, but I just want to give you this story in the context of what we are learning. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, said, "I don't know what you're talking about." But somehow they felt that Peter was with Jesus. There was something that made Peter be an associate of Jesus. And they could, "Hey, I know you must be with Jesus." Okay? Not by anything else, but then he, verse 71, then he gone out of the gateway. Another servant girl saw him and said to who were with her, "This man was with Jesus the Nazareth." And again he denied, "I don't know the man." Verse 73, notice this. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to him, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." The way you talk, I can sense that you are with Jesus. The way you talk, what kind of words you use. But you know what, Peter? Sad thing. You know what he did? Verse 74. He began to curse and swear. Cuss words. He started using cuss words. He wanted to show himself as if he is not a Christian or he is not belonging to Christ. For that, what should he do? He needs to use swearing words. He needs to use curse words just to prove himself that he's not with Christ. You see that? People can observe us. People know us by the way we talk, what we talk, how we talk, our accent, our way of responding, actions and reactions. People are watching us. Don't say that, oh, I'm a child of God, but the way I behave is my own way. Out of the heart comes the words of our mouth. And that is how, in this particular book, in this story, word became very important. My dear, don't take words lightly. Don't take words lightly. Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word. What is your password, I'm asking you? Is that Word that became flesh among us? What is your password? For you to cross the Jordan, you need a password. And that Word is Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for us on the cross. I want us to note down this thing. But before that, I want to share one more thing about Shibboleth. How many of you have heard the word Shibboleth before? Or is it the first time? A few of us. Shibboleth is also an identity provider. It's a consortium. Shibboleth is a single sign-on system for computer networks and the internet. It allows people to sign in using just one identity to various systems run by federation of different organizations or institutions. They took that word, Shibboleth, and they created an identity provider. That is the way in which you can have access. One identity. That identity, from a spiritual terms, what is your identity? Do you belong to Christ? What is your password? My identity is Christ. If somebody asks you, are you a believer? What do you answer? Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary. He gave His life for me. He came to die for me on the cross. By grace through faith, I'm saved. Or are you saying, I'm a Christian because my father is a Christian. I've been going to church so many times. I know this so-and-so great man of God. I know that great man of God. I always remember my father-in-law mentioning about a story. That person gave a testimony, never mentioning about his salvation experience in the church. So he went and asked that big man, big uncle, brother, you never shared about your salvation testimony. You could have told how God saved you, rather than telling, I have got this thing. Many things you would have got received from worldly wise. Then he said, oh, brother, I've been telling, I've been with so-and-so, Brother Buck Singh, for 40 years. I've been attending all the meetings for 40 years. And he's never telling that God saved him. He is trying to tag along with someone, attending some meetings and etc., doing the work, etc., and claiming himself to be a Christian. Based on what you tell, what experience you have, you're telling it out, you would know whether you're a believer or not yourself when you share your testimony. So please note down this last verse that is written here. For the word of the cross word that I'm telling you, the cross word is the word of the cross. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Note it down, write down. Sometimes it's better to write God's word. Hearing is good, but write down. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. The word of the cross enables us to be saved. It is a power of God that works in us. The word of the cross word is that one, my dear. That is your Shibboleth. Many times, we tend to make our own denominational way of asking them, okay, tell me the exact time and date when you were born again. And that person probably doesn't remember. Hey, I'm born again, God has saved me, but tell me the date. If you remember, wonderful. If you don't remember, somebody may not remember their birthday, but they're born. Many times we tend to use our own shibboleths, our own way of trying to create our own denominational way of trying to say that so-and-so is born again only if this is happening. But according to the word of God, we need to be able to see what is that specific shibboleth. The word of the cross saves us. That is your word. The word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Logos. The word here, The Greek word used is logos. Maybe your English translations might use the word preaching. It might use the message. But the original Greek word is logos. Logos means word. It could be translated as message and preaching. But the right word in terms of the Greek word is logos. The logos of the cross. The word of the cross. Logos is, in the beginning was the logos. Logos with God. Logos was God. The word was God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ should be your password. The work of the cross should be your password. How you will enter into the eternal life. It's not about trying to do the things and trying to gain something and try to learn something to tell how to share your testimony without experience. That is not the real shibboleth, my dear. God knows how you pronounce it. Even people may get fooled by your pronunciation, but God cannot. May the Lord bless the reading of the meditation of this particular word and help us to really experience this password in our lives, the shibboleth in our life. May the Lord bless each one of us.